listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. On July 21st, 2005, a group of concerned citizens in Uniontown, Indiana, started a round-the-clock protest against a newly opened adult superstore, the Lion's Den. Rain or shine, the protesters have been out there along Interstate 65, 24 hours a day for the last 5 years. They are known as the Uniontown Watchdogs. Protesters dissuade truckers and other travelers from entering the Lion's Den with signs that say whoever enters this store, that person's picture will be taken and posted on the protesters' website, warline.org. Truckers also have photos taken of their license plates sent to their employers. This has significantly decreased business at the Lion's Den. The watchdog protest has sparked quite a controversy. In an anonymous survey on our blog, over 4 out of 10 people thought that while the watchdogs have a right to protest, their methods are harmful to their Christian message. Today, we get to hear from the protesters themselves to get their side of the story. We are speaking with two men who helped to organize the Uniontown Watchdogs. The first is John Pierce, pastor of First Baptist Church of Crothersville. John and several people from his congregation were regular participants in the protest.
When you really sit someone down and get rid of their preconceived ideas, most people are open and receptive to what we're doing. And we're not just angry, ignorant people. We're people that just don't want this kind of activity going on. And we care about our children. We care about our daughters. We care about our sisters and our mothers. And we care about the husbands and our brothers and our fathers. And we just don't want this kind of filth to permeate the area.
We are also speaking with Rob Patterson, one of the men responsible for the protesters' website.
The amazing statistic on all of this is where they were planning 1,400 trucks a week, what we average is less than 10 a week.
Hear some of their story and their latest breaking news today on Covenant Eyes Radio. John, why don't we start with you? You're a pastor of a Baptist church there just about 4 miles south of Uniontown. And yes. Describe what happened when this business, the Lion's Den, came to be there in Uniontown. Describe some of the community reactions. What were people saying about it? What was the fear as people saw the Lion's Den come there to Uniontown?
Well, we at First Baptist Church Crothersville, we have about 1,600 people in the town, and we heard people that were building the building and those who were helping with electricity say, you know, we were excited initially because we were told that it was going to be a truck stop and it'd be a little gas station, you know, with kind of like a mom and pop shop. And it was exciting just to, you know, bring in some stores that would provide economic growth to the area. And then the next thing we know, they say it's a sexually oriented business. And it's supposed to be bringing in hundreds of truckers every week. And then they're going to have, you know, videos and stuff on bestiality and just all kinds of terrible things that about chasing down young girls and raping them. And when we heard that, the first person that was given a call was Rob Patterson.
Rob, why would you be called in to help out with this?
In Louisville, there were lots of sexually oriented businesses here. We did a thing and we got rid of them. Long story short, and we got an ordinance passed and we got, you know, had a big old battle and we closed up nearly 100 sexually oriented businesses in this area. So they called me up. You know, came up there, and, you know, certainly enough, yeah, that was a typical Lion's Den store being built. And an underlying cause behind all of this, too, is that up in Uniontown, basically in Crothersville, a 10-year-old girl, rather, was abducted, raped, and murdered. And this is a small community. It's like, you know, you lost your own child. Eventually, when the man was caught and he went to trial and everything, it came out, porn played a part in this. And we heard that directly also from the attacker's wife who came by and visited us, and that porn had played a part in all of this.
It kind of awakened our town in Crothersville to this evil, that why would somebody do this to this little girl? And we got involved personally at First Baptist Church Crothersville because she had been a part of our children's program, Awana program. Mm. And so the FBI was here. I mean, people were here for weeks, and they finally found the person who committed this crime. Like Rob said, his wife admitted that he was big into porn, and they say that might have been one thing that caused him to do this, to find her alone and to take advantage of her like this. So there was already a public outcry, an uproar, and so when this happened, we thought, we don't need this. We do not need this. So I think it helped develop an impetus for, you know, what was happening.
The day that the store started construction was around about the same time that this girl was murdered. And as a matter of fact, on the day that they opened was the day that they dedicated a beautiful playground to this little girl in memory of her. So everything was just ironic and outrageous at the same time.
Yeah, and the thing I find fascinating about this whole protest that started was the 24/7 nature of it. How long now have you been out there? I'm assuming people take shifts. They go out there and they sit out there by the roadside. How long has this been going on now?
1,827 days from the time we started to the day they closed.
You're out there 24/7. You're sitting out there roadside as trucks are passing by that could potentially get off and go to this Lion's Den store. What are you doing? What does the protest look like?
We were blessed to have a road that no one knew who owned it, and it turned out they gave it to the county, and the county allowed us to have a little shack. It looks like a little ice fishing shack, and we heat it with propane and has a little screen door on it. It's manned 24/7, where we have a camera that we can take pictures with, and then we have plenty of signs saying that if you enter into this establishment that you're picture will be taken, and if you're a truck driver, that the name of your company will be posted, and a letter will be sent to your company to let you know that this is where you go. And so we have signs that clearly warn of what we're going to do.
The amazing statistic on all of this is where they were planning 1,400 trucks a week, what we average is less than 10 a week.
Rob, what would you say about 95% of the companies that have drivers apologize and say that they'll reprimand their drivers and they don't want their
absolutely
drivers.
Yeah.
Is that 95? What's your percentage there?
Oh, it's probably higher than that. We've only had one letter that said, you know, don't bother us with this.
Yeah, we have one person who was once a engineer that subcontracted at NASA, and he's the one who writes these letters. He'll take the photo of the trucker and the truck and all the information on the cab, and then the license plate and everything, he makes sure that everything is specific, and he writes these letters. And when the trucking companies get these letters, they're outraged, and they don't want their people in places like that. They don't want that kind of business going on, and so they know what it leads to. So they write letters back and say, this person will not do this again. I've told him or her, and this won't happen again. So these letters that Ralph sends out are very effective, and I think had we not had these letters and pictures, that these truckers would be in here all the time. And also, Rob puts it on warline.net, and when people know that they're going to have their picture taken, it's a big deterrent. And a lot of people just don't go in there. Just regular drivers and cars and trucks just don't even go in there. And those that do just don't care, you know. But we want the ones that care not to go in there, and it makes a big difference.
So there's a lot of dynamics to this. There's the letter sending, which about how many letters do you think you've sent so far?
I would say over the course of 5 years, probably 800 or 900. And the letters we get back are pretty interesting. They thank us for letting them know. And they, in a couple of cases, the truckers got fired, especially if they got confrontational with the protesters. Our goal was to say, if you have a policy, enforce it. If you don't have a policy, create one. You know, you don't want your trucks in sexually oriented businesses while on duty. Pretty much that's what happened. But there were some interesting responses we got back, just amazing. One of the truckers was a youth minister.
So you have that, which is obviously, if you're informing businesses, trucking companies, that this is going on. So policies are being more enforced. Policies are being written. In addition, you also publish the pictures on the website, which you say is a nice deterrent for people. That if they don't want to have their picture published on a website that they're going in.
Well, we don't publish all of them. What we do is we say we will publish it if you don't have a policy and enforce it. Otherwise, you're going up. And we've done a few like that and everything. The website is a great deterrent, not only for the truckers, but for people who go in. Like Pastor John is correct, that, you know, those that go in really don't care. Then we find out, after they get their pictures up on the website and everything, they care. And there's been lots of testimonies and all of that, too, thanking us for exposing them and you know, helping them turn themselves around and all of that.
Now, this is another dynamic, is it? Because you don't just stand out there and protest. I read before that you've given away over 1,000 Bibles
Closer to 2,000 now.
Okay. So, and you claim to have over 100 customers of the Lion's Den had prayed to accept Christ in the last several years. Are you still continuing to do that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had a man, even though they were closed, he came in and we thought he was coming in to thank us for helping, making this, event close. And he came in with tears in his eyes and he said, "I want to thank you." And we thought he was talking about the Lion's Den, but it was about him. He says, over the course of the past several months, he had been coming in having several problems, and he'd asked for prayer. And he said, "I want to thank you all for praying for me." I don't even think he knew the Lion's Den was closed. We get stories like that all the time.
So the people out there had been praying for him, specifically praying with him, mm-hmm. for months.
Yeah, praying for him, praying with him. In one particular case, we had a married couple come in, and they came down. This was in the middle of winter. They got out of the car and they said, "Can you help us? My wife and I, we're having problems and we're having trouble making it. Would you pray for us?" And we laid hands on them and prayed. Now think about this for a moment. Here's a couple, they're having their marital problems and they want to try to stay together but don't think they can. And the man finally says, "Honey, I don't think we're going to make it. We need help. Let's go down to the porn store for prayer." And there's stories like that all the time. We've counseled people. Even those that maybe didn't accept Jesus, still their lives are changed. And by the way, that married couple, he came back about a year later, and they're still married. And he says, "We've still got our struggles, but we're doing good. We're doing better, and I wanted to thank you."
That's awesome. Now, obviously, you've encountered some negative reaction to all of this, and I can only imagine what all the different types of negative reactions have been. John, what are some of the reactions that you've heard seeing this protest develop over the last 5 years? What are the things people have said negative about your approach or what you're doing in general? What are the things that people don't like about it?
I think that the people that were the most against it were those who just thought, let them do what they're going to do. I think they were ignorant of what pornography does and how it steals people's lives and destroys them. And I think they were just assuming that everybody that was protesting was an angry, belligerent person that was ignorant. A lot of times you see people that are Christians, viewed on talk shows as being ignorant and angry. And it is just not the case. We've had people, newspaper people or town people or just attitudes that just are real condescending about, what are you guys doing out there anyway? What a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. When you first start protesting, there's an attitude, oh, no, you can actually hear the gravel underneath the tires, and there's that fear, of what someone's going to say or do, or if someone has a weapon or whatever. And then, 5 years into it, it's no longer a fear. It's like it's an opportunity. And so many people start out because, you're protesting, so they're very angry. But once they come and talk with you, we're not allowed to step over a line over there. We have to stay in a certain place, a certain area by law. And they come over, and we've had people that shake our hands, give us a hug, say, "Well, we can agree to disagree," or whatever. And we're not just angry, ignorant people. We're people that just don't want this kind of activity going on, and we care about our children, and we care about our daughters, we care about our sisters and our mothers, and we care about the husbands and our brothers and our fathers, and we just don't want this kind of filth just to permeate the area. And it's been very effective. But, yeah, we've had people that are like, "What are you doing?" And not everybody's want to be involved because I don't want to have confrontation. And so, not everybody's been on board about it, but just about everybody that actually gets to hear what we have to say and is out there. There are people who have not been for this type of behavior, and they've gone out there and they've protested. And they're like, "Man, you guys are doing a good work. I didn't know it was this way." So it's an acquired taste. And
I'm sure.
Nobody, I think, likes it initially, but after you start doing it, it just makes you much stronger because people know you genuinely care. And a soft answer turns away wrath. And many times when people are angry and you start talking to them while you're there, they might not fully agree. They might have a different worldview than what you have, but they can respect you when they leave. So it's been a real, mixed bag of nuts. But when you really sit someone down and get rid of their preconceived ideas about protesting anything, most people are open and receptive to what we're doing.
About how many people total have been involved in the protest?
There was a regular group of 50.
Yeah. I mean, through the winter, through the summer, people honking.
Tornadoes. Yeah. We sat through tornadoes. Yeah.
The thing I found fascinating about this particular protest is that it shows the premium that we place on secrecy around the issue of pornography. This issue invokes a lot of shame for people. It's the same problem you encounter on the internet, which is what Covenant Eyes is all about, trying to help people with. Take away the anonymity of the use of finding pornography on the internet. It's all over the internet. And yet, because of the internet, it allows people the opportunity to view it in the privacy of their homes or at their offices, where no one has to know and no one has to see anything, and which is why one of the reasons why pornography is so accessible today.
There is a secrecy, and Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's in Ephesians 5:11 that have no fellowship with the enterprises of darkness, but rather expose, reprove, and convict them.
Yeah, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And we find by far that most people that go in there are pretty nice people. They're just addicted. And we just found that that when we do talk with them and we do show compassion and to say, hey, listen, none of us are above this. We just want to keep it out of here. And would you please just not shop here? And if you do, we will have to put you on the web.
Another favorite thing that I like to do is when we have what we call a crossover, they park across the street and come over, I'll meet them, and if they'll talk to me, I'll say, if I had a gate right here and you had to pay $50 to get through the gate just to have the opportunity to go in the store, would you pay it? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to pay that. And everything. I says, well, you think you go in there for free? It costs you something. It costs you your soul. The difference between you and me is I just think your soul's worth more than $50. That really diffuses them.
Let me just play a little devil's advocate here just because I'm sure some people who are listening right now are probably thinking this. The question that I would imagine you would get pretty often is there are probably a fair number of people who pornography leads to all kinds of other deviancy in their life. It leads to, escalates from addiction then to acting out and then to hurting other people and those sort of things. As common as pornography is today and as accessible as it is today online and stuff like that, if it was always going to lead to people being sexually deviant and in very overt public ways and ways that really harm people, you'd think our whole culture would be full, far more than it is right now, would be full of people who are hurting other people, who are raping other people or whatever. But you don't find that. So if I'm the guy who's not going to let it get out of control, if I'm the guy who's going to, control my impulses, I'll watch my porn on Friday nights and do that for 20 years and nothing and no one's the wiser and no one's harmed. What would you say to a guy like that?
So many times when I'm doing counseling, it'll usually be having something to do with pornography, where the husband got into the internet porn and she's become kind of old for him, and he wants new taste, and he wants her to look like what he's been seeing, and a large number of divorces are because of pornography. When your sex life is messed up, pornography does not help. It only makes you wish you were with someone who is more attractive, who is more resilient, who is younger, and who wants to do things that most people have not thought of. So I would say it does destroy families. And eventually, even if that person doesn't go on to do terrible things, he's also opened up a door, or she has opened up a door for others who are younger to watch them and to follow that lifestyle. I was listening to NPR recently. They had an interview with Hugh Hefner. And one of the comments he made is that when asked if he was for hardcore pornography, he said no. I said, well, you know your business is starting to move into that direction. And he said, I know. But he wasn't for it. He's not for hardcore. So, even people like Hugh Hefner don't believe in hardcore porn. And that's what people are going to get. It might, be latent for a period of time, but ultimately it's destructive toward the family and toward the community. So I would say that I don't think pornography necessarily ruins everyone's life, but I would say that it doesn't help that life, and it makes it unhealthy, and it hurts relationships. I don't think just because someone goes in and gets a magazine or gets a video or whatever that it's going to destroy their life, but I think it's the beginning of a destruction, and I think people don't see all the fallout. As a pastor, I see it all the time. We have areas where truckers have stopped. They'll run and they'll go through fences. They'll cut holes through fences just to be able to go in, and he's their full-grown man. People jump over fences hurting themselves trying to get in there because it's an addiction. It's not just a novelty where they, get excited. It's an addiction they can't live without.
Yeah. The business has at least temporarily closed its doors. It is closed. It was
August 3rd.
August 3rd, okay. temporarily closed. Any new news that you have to report?
They have the employee's last day was Monday. Their walls are cleaned off. The shelving is down. They are down.
You have been listening to our interview with John Pierce and Rob Patterson of the Uniontown Protest. For more information about their protest, visit warline.org. That's warline.org. I'm your host, Luke Gilkerson, for Covenant Eyes Radio. Listen to more of our podcasts on iTunes or on the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.